The Life and Times of the Reverend Dorothy Zimmerman. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with our instant inspiration at noontime. The Life and Times of the Reverend Dorothea Zimmerman. Reverend Zimmerman came into our world recently as a very remarkable lady. She has been clocking up the years, and with every year she seems to get brighter, more cheery, more alive, more dynamic, and she's going on 86 now, which is quite a nice year to go on. Some people weren't even born until 86, but she's already lived a dynamic, full life. What is it that makes Reverend Dorothea Zimmerman a special lady? What are her life and times? Well, we researched a little bit into her background, not too much because she's always just had a very wonderful, dramatic life. She was married, had a very active husband in business, and she was with him in many of his activities. And they lived in California here, and they were very interested in horses and very interested in many areas of life. But at all times, Dorothea had a great interest in philosophy and religion. And she was studying under many mentors, as she likes to call them. These are men who are top quality people in the fields of philosophy, in the fields of religion. And as she would study under these mentors, she would learn a great deal. But one thing that I was surprised that she didn't learn, and that is that she is number one. Because always they would teach her that she's great, she's wonderful, she's good, the rest of the world is wonderful and great and good, and that everybody is fantastic. But essentially that there was a power greater than she was and she could use it. Not that she was the power. And this is where she came into our life. She had had some very dynamic experiences as her house was burned down and she was burned in the fire. And like the phoenix, she rose out of the ashes a more dynamic, a more magnificent woman. And I said to Dorothea Zimmerman, I said, she'd like to be called Dodie at that time. I said, are you a reverend? And she said, oh, no, no, no. I have never been ordained. I said, well, you have your own church, the Church of Inner Light. Now, you were not ordained. She said, oh, no, no. And so we took care of that. She presented the University of Healing, God Unlimited, with her church and her corporation program. And so we immediately ordained her in her church as the president and minister of her church. And she was very delighted, very appreciative of this fact. Now, why did that not happen to her before? Well, until she met us, she was still a very wonderful, dynamic woman, but always looking on the outer, always looking at some outer forces that are going to affect her life. She knew about the divine within, and she has lived that very dynamically and very wonderfully. But as most people that we know, the tendency is to want to have a Jesus or a master or a mentor or someone outside of themselves who can guide them and show them the way. And her church was a spiritual church and a Christian type church. She believed in the Bible, believed in the teachings of Jesus. And we pointed out to her that Jesus said that it is done unto you according to your belief. And that Jesus said, you get on my nerves. You get on my nerves, all of you. I'm going to leave here. I'm cutting out. I must go so the Comforter can come. And the Comforter he was talking about was the divine within each one of us. So long as we are looking to the outer for the fulfillment of who we are, we'll never look within. It's the story of the three gods who were fishing and they couldn't decide where to hide man's spirit, man's divinity, man's magic, you know. And they thought of the sky, they thought of the ocean, they thought of everything. And finally they decided the greatest place to hide him is within man himself. And these, of course, are harmonious with the teachings of Jesus, who said, look low here or low high, but the kingdom of God is within you. So, we told Dodi, look within. And she did. And she found her divinity, just like that. Mm-hmm. Just ready and waiting for her, ready and waiting for her to enjoy it. And then we said to her, now, madame, what is your name? And she said, Dodi Zimmerman. And I said, no, what name were you born with? And she said, Dorothea Ruth Zimmerman. Well, not really. I imagine Zimmerman's her married name, but we didn't question that. Okay, so we said, what is wrong with Dorothea? That's a very glorious, a very noble spiritual name. And she said, oh, well, that's just short to say Dorothea, you know. Say Dodi instead of Dorothea. And I said, well, we all chose to live on this earth. We chose to come on this earth, and as we chose to come on this earth, we created a name that our parents gave us. Our parents thought they were so smart thinking up the name for us, but yes, they were, because they finally listened to what we were telling them. You know, some people don't listen to what their children tell them before they're born as to their name, and they give them names that don't fit. And so the kids just naturally are called something that does fit. You've noticed that happen occasionally, where the name the parents gave to the children just didn't fit, and the children finally got the name that they wanted, the name that they really believe. Now, that might have been true for Bobby Stalter, you know, who was Patrick Ure Stalter, and his parents called him Bobby from the day he was born, virtually, and there was a love name, but maybe it had more depth to it than we knew. And Monica, yes. Yes, there are many people who have different names, and they've sought these out because that was what they had really wanted to give themselves by birth, but their parents weren't listening. Now, can you understand how parents might not be listening? Sure. Especially when there's a tradition in the way, and you got to have grandma's name in there and grandpa's name in there and great uncle, and if there's a rich member of the family, you got to have their name in there, certainly. So this will be their special child. Well, Dodi realized that Dorothea was a fabulous name. But as wonderful as it is, it's the same problem that Stefan and Monica have and others who come to us have. They hear the truth, and they don't want to teach it because it is too demanding. They don't want to say, I am God, while they're being God, because that's too demanding. And Dorothea, she went back to her home in San Diego, and she talked to her people there, her friends, and she was visiting with her relatives. And we had lunch with her on Sylvia's birthday yesterday. And as we were having lunch, I said, well, Dorothea, what do your relatives call you now? Do they call you Dorothea, or do they call you Dodi? You know, and she, oh, they call me Dodi. She says, I'm not going to work on them to change them to that. And I thought to myself, Dorothea, you don't realize what this really means. This means that you don't take responsibility for yourself. This means that you put on that disguise. Well, maybe the disguise is a real name for her. Maybe. Maybe not. I merely give her the alternative and the opportunity. Now, we have many of our students and our ministers who are all over the world. And we visit their churches, we visit their centers, we visit their homes, we visit their lives. And most of them have perhaps done a 9,000 degree turn from what they had been when they came to us. But they still have a little turn to go. Because so many of them find it difficult to say, I am God, in front of their family and friends, in front of their world, which means they haven't done much teaching in that area. Now, you would think that people who had taken our courses from A to Z would be so imbued with the teachings and the philosophy of the University of Healing and the Church of God Unlimited that they could not possibly think of teaching in any other way than saying, I am God. That should be so beautiful. Now, Ellen was a good example. When Ellen first came to this philosophy, she was a normal Catholic girl, a beautiful child of God, a beautiful son of God. She's really a daughter, but she called herself son of God. And she came to our seminars. And then one day, it struck her. She says, I'm God. And she's God, not because she made it so, but because it always has been so. And she came out during the break of the seminar saying to everybody in the restaurant, I'm God, and you're God too. Did you know that? Did you know that? And she went to one man who was the husband of one of the students, and she jumped on his lap and said, I'm God, and you're God. And he says, I know. I know. I don't say it, but I know it. And Ellen told her husband one day, she said, you know, Elias, I'm God. And you're God. And Elias, with all of the thoughtfulness and caringness of a wonderful, loving husband, said, you finally found out. You finally found out, too, that you're God. Wasn't that about what he said? You finally found out that you're God. Now, he knew it, and he didn't push it on her. He just lived it in his pure, noble life, in the magnificence of the man that he is and was and always will be. And you see, he never changed. But the world around him changed, and they tried to do their best to stop him from living in this independence that he had of himself, of being God. The world is going to stop all of us. It's going to stop the Stephans and the Monicas and the Dodies and the Ellens and Ingeborgs and Sylvias and Herbs. It's going to stop all of us. It's going to try to make the Herbert Martys and the other people, Christina and Irene and Gertrude or Gerd? Gertrude. Oh, Gertrude's doing far better than we give her credit for. She is far more advanced than we realize. And, of course, she will be like Rosalie one of these days very soon. Right at the tippy top of the ladder of recognizing that she's the master of her life. We all will have problems in going through this in the world. Because the world is going to jump on us and say, if you're God, demonstrate, you know. And they're right. We should demonstrate. But the big thing about being God is not so much that you say, I'm God, but you live it. You live it in every moment. But if you ever say, I don't want to live it, I don't want to teach it, I don't want to share it by my living it, then you're dead. And Jesus said to the disciples when they came to him and said, hey, this other character is going around saying the same thing you're doing. And Jesus said to his disciples, hey, you guys, wake up. If they're not against us, they're for us. And this is so true. This is so true. We have the opportunity to be like Dodie. Now, she waited until she was 84, 85, 86 years old. And then she woke up and she realized, hey, I'm the greatest. I'm wonderful. I'm fantastic. And then some of us, we've gone through the story again and again and again. And we go to other churches, we go to other philosophies, other religions. Nothing's wrong with them. They're all wonderful. They're all beautiful. And then we take what we've learned there, and then we apply it to our life. And when we apply it to our life, we say, that doesn't quite fit perfectly there. That doesn't seem to do the job. And we keep applying it. And then, lo and behold, we find that it's not the outer church. It's not God Unlimited, University Healing, or the Catholic Church, or the Protestant churches. It's not those. The only church that matters is the church that's within us. And the church that's within us is going to teach us far greater things than we ever believed possible. We look at this great magician. What's his name? And we look at him as he makes the Empire State Building disappear. David Copperfield. And as he makes many other things disappear, trains and stuff like that, and we think, wow. And we know it isn't so. We know that, in fact, they are still right where they always were. But for a moment, and maybe longer than a moment, we believe that those things actually disappeared. And with a poof of his magic, they were gone. And that's what life is. Just for a moment, You get the message and you think, wow, that's cool. And then you go back to your mundane thinking, your ordinary thinking, and it's back again. But it can stay gone. The magic that David Copperfield does can stay real and is real for those people who accept it. Now, Jesus walked on water, pure magic. Pure magic, because he made himself one as the water. And we all do that too. And now, in your idiocy, I say that gently, in your idiocy, how often have you walked on water in your sleep? How often have you have you dived down beneath the water in the ocean or whatever it is, and you swam down there and just breathed the water, and just as though it was the most normal thing in the world? How many times have you flown? And you flap your arms, you say, I don't need to do that. I fly without flapping, you know. And how many times, you say, well, Herb, those are not real. And our life is not real in the same sense. We want to be the great that we are. And it's not just the magic of a David Copperfield. It's not just the magic of a Jesus. It's not just the magic of our divinity. It's the magic of our reality. And let us look forward to our reality as Dorothea Zimmerman is doing now. Every moment that we talk to this woman, we find vitality, we find life, we find enthusiasm, we find joy. And she read about us in the newspaper and said she wanted to visit us. She came to visit us. We told her about our philosophy. And she said, I've been looking for this all my life. This is exactly what I believe and where I stand. This is wonderful. Now, what could we say to her? We could say, here you are, take our course. And she paid for the course in full right away. Took the course. She's working on it, as many people are who have other demands on their time. But she's working on it. But it's not the matter that she's working on it. She's living it. She is a living example of a spiritual being. And how do we know? How do we know what a living example of a spiritual being is? You got to be one to see it, to know it. So that's quite a compliment to us, that we know it, we see it, and she is it. Isn't that wonderful?
Yes.
Well, thank you, Dorothea Zimmerman. It's a joy to have you on our team, in our life, in our world, and life for you and us has just begun. I love you. I love you. I love you.